Good morning. We're so glad you guys made it here today, all those who went through the snow to be here. We want to welcome all of those who are online as well. Well, before we jump into the message today, I just want to say thank you for all of those who came out yesterday for our trunk or treat. And so on behalf of Academy Christian Church, man, we need a lot of people to make something like that happen. And so the children's ministry just wants to thank you guys. Man, it was awesome. If you were here, we made it. We did it before the snow, so that was good. It was a little chilly, but hundreds and hundreds of people came out, and it was so much fun. And so thank you for all of those who participated in that, ran booths and all of those things. We just want to say thank you. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Taylor Downs. I'm one of the student pastors here at Academy. And we're in a series studying through Romans chapter 12. And what we're doing is we're looking at what Paul says that, hey, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, the things that we're learning throughout this series should be applying to your life. You should be taking from it and be acting it out. Now, those of you who maybe haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, that's okay. But what this series is really saying is, like, this is what a Christ follower does look like or should look like. And so as we jump through this series, man, it's really good just to hear some of the lessons that we're learning through Romans chapter 12. And so if you're here for the first week, the lesson that we learned was we have to live a life fully surrendered to Christ. That's what a Christ follower looks like. Lesson number two, aligning our thinking with God's kingdom. Lesson three, allowing grace to keep you humble in your relationships. Lesson four, we talked about following Jesus in a community like a body. And so looking at our spiritual gifts and actually applying that to the body of Christ, which is the church. And then last week, if you were here, we talked about our love must be sincere. Well, all these are great lessons about what it looks like to live out our Christian life. And so what we've been talking about, again, is moving from just knowledge about who God is to actually living it out, actually acting it out. Because it's one thing to know God, but it's another thing to actually follow Jesus and live it out. If you've been to class the last few weeks, hopefully you've started to apply some of those lessons to your life. Well, for the lesson today, I want to kind of take us outside of the classroom. We're gonna actually go outside to the woods today. I know it's terrible. I didn't know it was gonna snow today when we were gonna go outside. Okay, so but we're gonna take class outside. So just imagine we're going outside today. That's where class is gonna be held. And so over here, okay, this is gonna be good. This is good. Here we go. Okay. Let's light a little fire. Oh, man. Those of you who stayed at home, you didn't know we were going to have a fire in church. That's why you stayed home. But this is nice and warm. Those of you who showed up, hopefully this will give you a little bit more fire. So we're outside today for our lesson. I think it's going to help us understand and maybe apply this lesson to our life a little bit more. Now, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. And here's my hope for all of us who are in the room and those who are online. My hope is that this verse that we're going to be talking about today becomes your life verse. Now, when I read it, you're going to be like, what? Okay, well, bear with me. Okay, but this verse, like, I think as a Christian, as a Christ follower, this should become our life verse. And let me read it. Here it is. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Okay. You're like, cool. Awesome. I like the word slothful. That's a cool word. Okay. Definitely want this to be my life verse. But here's this lesson today is going to be a little bit trickier than some of the other lessons that we've been learning throughout this study. See, it's trickier because here we're not told to do something, and we're also not told to not do something. We are told to feel something. Now that becomes trickier, right? Like when we're told to feel something, that's a trickier thing than just like, be obedient to this. See, there's a feeling here that we're told. We're told to be passionate about our faith. Not just be obedient about our faith, but actually live a life of passion. And so in this very, very short verse, we are told not to be lacking or slothful. A word that means slow or lazy in our zeal. Now, zeal is a kind of a churchy word, okay? And it's really a word that means haste or diligence or striving after anything. So we should not be lacking in zeal, nor should we lack in diligence or be lazy in striving after anything. Now, this anything that we're talking about, that Paul's talking about, is the following Jesus. That's what he's talking about. We should have zeal in following Jesus, striving to be more like Jesus. And he says, don't be slothful in that. In addition, we are to be fervent in spirit. The word fervent literally translates, it means to boil. See, our spirit is to boil over as we serve the Lord. The Message version, I think, captures the essence of this verse quite nicely when it says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. See, this idea of keeping our spiritual fervor is not unique to Romans chapter 12, verse 11. The Bible also tells us things like fan into flame the gift of God, 2 Timothy 1:6, or to show earnestness and not be sluggish in our faith and perseverance, Hebrews 6:10-12, or to excel in zeal, 2 Corinthians 8:7, and to not grow weary of doing good, Galatians 6:9. See, it does seem that the scriptures not only want us to be obedient followers of Christ, but also to experience a passion and desire to follow Christ. Not just be these obedient Christ followers, but to actually have some passion when we are doing it. In the vernacular, we would say something like this, like we are called to be on fire for God, not just obedient. See, but the struggle with Romans 12, 11 is not in understanding the text. We can look at it and be like, okay, cool, that's what that means, awesome. But where the struggle comes in is living it into the truth of our life. See, living the truth of this text is way harder than actually understanding the text. And anyone who's been following Christ for more than a week knows that weariness and lack of zeal are constant struggles in the pathway to maturity. We become lazy. That just happens in our life. That's like a thing. When we become maybe you just became a Christ follower, and you saw that, man, you were passionate. You were on fire for God. But then a week goes by and the laziness comes. A week goes by and there's sluggishness. A week goes by and now there's slothfulness in our life when it comes to our spiritual maturity. And so the real question is, what can we do to keep our spirit boiling over for Christ? Or even the more difficult question, how do we restore spiritual fervor to a spirit that's not only not boiling, but has actually grown cold? What do we do when our spirit is over here on this side of camp, far away from the fire? And we say, this is my spirit. It's cold. It hasn't been boiling for a long time. How do I get it to boil again? And so in trying to answer that question, I want to focus on the image that Paul used. Boiling over in our spirit. If we go with that image, it makes us think about water that is boiling over the side of a pot on a stove. But water does not boil itself. Water boils because it's placed near the fire. And perhaps the better question is, what can we do to place ourselves near the fire of God's Holy Spirit so that our spirit can start to boil again? Now, before I attempt to offer some wisdom in this regard, it might be helpful to just confess that the struggle to keep our spiritual fervor is very common to God's people. You may feel that maybe you're the only one, right? You're the only one that feels this way. You're the only one in the church who feels like your water is not at a boil. But just read the Psalms, and you will find the spiritual confessions of those whose spirit was less than boiling. And consider this. Why would the Bible teach us to keep our spiritual fervor unless there was going to be a struggle? See, Paul knew that even among the reborn and transformed, the natural temptation is to become slothful in our zeal and for our water to become lukewarm again. And so how does our spirit boil? What can we do to place ourselves near the fire of God so that our spirit can start to boil and that we can start to have spiritual fervor in our life? Well, I'm going to give you two words, and they are spiritual disciplines. Now, for any goal that we set, whether that goal is to run a marathon, to graduate from high school or college, to save for retirement, to lose weight, to have a vegetable garden, or to make a quilt, anytime we set a goal, we have to break that goal down into the things that are going to happen in order for us to achieve that goal. For instance, when I was training for my half marathon a couple of years ago, in order for me to reach my goal, which was to run it in around 2 hours, I knew that there were some steps that I needed to take. I'd have to run 3 to 4 times a week, and I'd have to have one long run each week. And as the race was getting closer, I'd have to run more and more and more. And so by the week before the race, I'd be running 10, 11, 12 miles so that when the race came, I knew what to expect. I had it in me. See, I had to do what I needed to do. I had to take the steps. And it didn't matter how much I desired to run a half marathon. It didn't matter how much I wanted it. If I didn't do what needed to be done in order to accomplish that goal, I probably wasn't going to be able to accomplish it. I might have been able to walk it like 5, 6, 7 hours. You know, the sun's going down and I'm like, where's the last person? That would have been me. But I wouldn't be able to accomplish it in the time that I wanted to unless I did what I needed to do in order to accomplish that goal. And so if our goal is for our spirits to be boiling over, then what are the steps that we have to take? What are the things that have to be done in order to make that a reality in our life? And the single best phrase that captures these steps that lead to a boiling spirit is the spiritual disciplines. See, the spiritual disciplines are the basic steps that we take in order to reach the goal of a boiling spirit. And Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, is one of the classic works in this area. And I think it can be very helpful this morning for us. See, I like how he describes the spiritual disciplines. He writes this, he says, "The disciplines place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to the place where something can be done." See, he talks about the path of disciplined grace, where we put ourselves in the pathway of God's grace so that we can be transformed by his grace. Or to use the analogy of Romans 12, the spiritual disciplines are the way that we grab our spirit, our water, and get it closer to the fire of God so that our spirit can start to boil. That's what spiritual disciplines are. Taking those steps to get our life and our spirit closer to God. And see, the disciplines don't produce the boiling. And anyone who has tried to make your own spirit boil can testify to this. But the disciplines put our soul near the fire of God who can bring the spirit to a boil. And so what are the spiritual disciplines? Foster lists 12 in his book. And so here are the 12 that he lists. Meditation, being still enough to listen to God's voice. Prayer, soul-to-soul communication with God. Fasting, abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Study, in-depth understanding, analyzing, and interpreting of God's word. Simplicity, a freedom from materialism. Solitude, the freedom to withdraw. Submission, finding freedom from the terrible burden of always needing to get your own way. Service, experiencing God's kingdom of going beyond ourselves. Confession, confessing our sins to one another. Worship, when our spirit touches the spirit of God. Guidance, discerning the will of God in community. And celebration, to rejoice in the Lord. And see, the way that Foster teaches about spiritual disciplines is important too. He talks about the inward disciplines and the outward disciplines and then the corporate disciplines. And while I don't want this to be a study of Foster's book, I think he does a great job of clarifying the building blocks of reaching the goal of having a boiling spirit for Christ. So if your spirit is not boiling, or maybe your spirit is boiling over and you want to keep it boiling over, then let me make a few observations this morning. First, water does not boil itself. See, the only way our spirits will boil over is if we put ourselves in the pathway of God's grace. And it's so important to remember that our spiritual activity will not be able to produce a fervent spirit. If you think about spiritual disciplines as just a checklist of, well, I did that, I did that, I did that, that is not going to produce a fervent spirit. What the spiritual disciplines are is that we are bringing our soul closer and closer to God's fire so that his fire can light our soul and it becomes boiling. We cannot boil our own water. Secondly, there are basic disciplines of grace that must be in place, or our spirit will never be close enough to God's fire to reach a boil. See, it does not matter how much you want to run a half marathon. If you're not running 3 to 4 times a week, and if you're not doing a long run that's increasing in distance, then it will not happen. And see, those basic disciplines in when it comes to our spiritual life are reading the word of God so that you can hear his voice speaking to you. Conversational prayer and meditating on God's word so that it saturates your thinking. And here's where the whole keep your spiritual fervor thing gets very tricky. If your spirit is not boiling, guess what? You will not feel like praying. If your spirit is lukewarm, if you're on this side of camp and it's dark and it's miserable, guess what? You will not feel like meditating on God's word. You will not feel like praying. You will not feel like reading scripture. But here is the truth. That is exactly why you need to do it. And I know this sounds strange, but we must pray because we do not feel like praying. We must read the word of God because we do not feel like reading the word of God. We must memorize scripture because we don't have the desire to think about God's truth. See, the absence of desire is all the more reason to put ourselves near the fire so that God can boil our spirit. See, when we don't feel like it, when we're over here, we have to still do the work to get ourselves closer to the fire of God. Because when we get closer over here, guess what? We will start to feel like doing it. We will start to feel like reading scripture. We will start to feel like talking to God. We will start to feel like memorizing God's scripture. But the problem is that too many times we sit over here and we're like, well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. So if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. And then we wonder why. Why do I not feel close to God? Why do I not feel God's power in my life? Why do I not feel the heat of God in my life? Why is my soul not boiling? It's because we don't start. And see, we have to start because it's in the start. It's in the doing, even when we don't feel like it. It's in the doing when we don't feel like praying. It's in the doing when we don't feel like reading God's scripture that we get closer and closer to God's fire. And when we get closer and closer to God's fire, he starts to boil and our spirit starts to boil. And then guess what? Man, now we start to feel like doing it. We feel closer to him, but we have to start. The absence of desire is all the more reason to put ourselves near the fire so that God can boil our spirit. Third, what Foster's book helps us understand is that our spiritual community plays an essential role in our spiritual fervor. Consider these words from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of the hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, to hold fast without wavering is just another way of saying keep your spiritual fervor. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that our spiritual community plays an essential role in that. And so here's the third point, the third observation. We must be investing in a spiritual community where we can both spur one another and be spurred by one another towards a fervent spirit. And I say investing because when you need a community, it's often too late to find one. See, just like when you need a savings account for retirement, it's too late to start saving for it. You have to start saving for it when you don't need it. When you have something extra to contribute so that when you need to make withdrawals, there is something to withdraw from. See, spiritual community is the same way. We need to invest in spiritual community by building relationships and encouraging one another so that when we need someone to help us light our fire again, when we need someone to help us to get us closer to the fire of God, we have it. We have those people. We have that community. We have those connections. When we need someone to pray for us, we don't have to search around. We don't have to just talk to a pastor. We have people in our life who are there, who have poured into us, who we've poured into them, and they are there. And see, spiritual community does not happen in a large group setting. And so we're talking about more than just attending service on Sunday mornings. Man, we are so glad you attend service on Sunday mornings or watch online. But guess what? That is just the start. If you want to have a boiling over spirit, attending church once a week is just the start. Community needs to take place. And see, it's not just a group of friends that you can hang out with, but a spiritual community that stirs you up in faith. That is what you need. That is what we all need. Got to be investing in one another. And here's the scary part about that, is that you have to put yourself out there. It's not just going to happen. Just like a savings account doesn't just happen. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do. You have to go and talk to people that maybe you don't really want to talk to at that moment. But guess what? You have to do it. You have to put yourself in the position to do that. Teenagers, you got to put yourself into a position where you can build close friendships with other teenagers so that you have a spiritual community. Adults, you have to do the same thing. You can't just attend here, sit in here, and walk out. You have to be investing in spiritual community, getting involved in a connect group or an ABF or a life group or something that is helping you, that you have people around you that can help stir you up when your fire is no longer lit, when your water is no longer burning, when your spirit is in the dark place, that you have people to help stir you along and encourage you to get closer to God's fire. And that doesn't happen in this space. It happens in this space. It's essential. So maybe if you don't have that, then be praying earnestly for the Spirit of God to guide you into those special relationships where you can build spiritual community. Fourth, serving the Lord is a key part of keeping our spiritual fervor. We see this connection in the text. Romans 12:11 says, be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. And this is why Foster lists service as one of the spiritual disciplines. See, one of the ways that our spirits begin to get lukewarm is when we stop seeing our lives in the larger context of what God is doing in our community and in our world. See, the pattern of this world is to think that if we focus on ourselves, if we focus and turn inward, then we can find contentment in our life. But that is simply not true. See, when life becomes all about me, that is when my life becomes small and insignificant. So for our spirits to boil, we need to see that God has a divine, eternal plan, and he has created us for good works that he has prepared already in advance for us to do. And that is what service is, experiencing the fiery spirit of God flowing through us and bringing our spirit to boil. And so if you're not serving somewhere, guess what? It is essential, just like community. Serving the Lord is a key part of keeping our spiritual fervor. The fifth observation is there's a connection between being conformed to the pattern of the world and the lack of spiritual fervor. Foster wrote in his book about the disciplines of simplicity and solitude. For simplicity, he wrote about rejecting the materialism of this world and refusing to become addicted to the love of the things of the world. 1 John 2:15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of my Father abides forever. See, when we are conformed to the things of this world, when we begin to be consumed and chase the desires of the flesh or the pride and possessions, then our spirit will lose its boil. Because what we're doing is we're distracting ourselves from the fire of God, and we're turning and we're chasing all of these other things. We're chasing the world. We're chasing possessions. And when we do that, we're no longer chasing after God's fire. We're chasing after the world. And then we get to this place where our spirit is now lukewarm because we spent so much time chasing after the world and not chasing after the fire. It's a connection. There's a connection there. Number six, keeping our spiritual fervor is a spiritual fight unto the death. Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual forces of darkness. See, the battle to keep your spiritual fervor is not a single player game. We have an opponent. And games where there is an opponent is different than games without an opponent. If I'm taking a ball and I'm throwing it against a wall to myself, guess what? I have total control over the ball, right? I can throw it hard. I can throw it soft. I can make it catchable. I can make it uncatchable. But right when you throw another person into this, a person throwing the ball to me, guess what? It changes everything. Does that person want me to catch the ball? Is that person going to throw it hard? Is that person going to throw it soft? Like, we have an opponent in keeping our spiritual fervor, and it changes everything. So here's my point. Every temptation, every lie, every condemnation, and every fear is part of a coordinate scheme of the enemy to rob us of our spiritual zeal. Just see Ephesians 6:11. See, there's a connection between the temptation to worry and your spiritual zeal. There's a connection between the temptation to sin and your anger and your spiritual fervor. There's a connection between the lie that gossip is enjoyable and being lukewarm. There's a connection between your sin and not boiling. And see, this is why Paul told us in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God, because there's a battle going on for the condition of our soul. And sometimes what happens is that we have been ignorant of the enemy's schemes, and we have bought into the lies and fears or condemnations or temptations. And little by little, our spirit has become more and more lukewarm. And to gain back our spiritual zeal means we have to do the spiritual warfare of getting our souls back to the fire of God, which means that you have to work back through each lie, each fear, each condemnation, each temptation, confessing and repenting and embracing the truth of who God is and what he's doing in your life. But listen to me. This is not just a once a week battle. This is not just a Sunday morning battle. This is not just a Bible study battle. This is an everyday, every moment battle. This is when we wake up, there's a battle going on. When we're alone, there's a battle going on. When we're driving in our car, there's a battle going on. When we get to work, there's a battle going on. It's an everyday, every moment battle. But I think too many times, we put on our armor and we come to church and we're ready to fight. And then when we get home, guess what we do? We take off that armor. We put down our shield of faith. We take off the helmet of righteousness. We put down the sword of the spirit. We take off the boots of readiness. And we take these things off. We're like, well, I'm ready to have the week. And see, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to take off the armor of God in the other moments. And wants us just to think this is a Bible study battle. It's not. It's a battle going on every moment of every day. and it's a battle for your soul. Finally, last observation, there are just some times in our spiritual walk that we must persevere the valley of darkness. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now, why would Paul write that unless he knew that there were going to be times when believers would grow weary of doing good? So we have to realize that in our battle to get our spirit closer to the fire of God, that there may be seasons where we don't feel God's heat. And in those seasons, we must hope in the harvest season that is to come. And see, perseverance implies both time and pain. And the absence of fervor is just another form of pain. It's by persevering through the dry periods, by choosing to step towards God's grace, that we bring our spirit to a boil in due time. And so maybe you're in a season of life where you just don't feel the heat of God. Well, guess what? Keep going. Keep working. Persevere through that. Because what I do know to be true is that God is faithful and the harvest will come. There will be a time where he lights the fire. And if you're standing over it, you will feel the heat. But too many times when we get into a season where we don't feel God's heat, we're in a dry season, we're in that season, we stop doing the spiritual disciplines, we stop doing those things that got us there, and then when we're over here, God lights the fire, and guess what? We don't feel it. So what we need to do is that when there are seasons, dry seasons, when there are seasons where you don't feel the heat of God, keep doing those things. Keep putting yourself next to God's fire. Because what I know to be true, the Bible is pretty clear that what you sow, you will reap. And if you are sowing the spiritual disciplines in your life, guess what? The harvest will come and the heat will come and you will feel God's goodness in your life. But we have to persevere. So let's review. Today we are encouraged to keep our spiritual zeal, to be boiling over in our spirit. We've learned that water does not boil itself, and we cannot bring our spirit to a boil. All we can do is place our spirit near to God's fire. And let him bring us to a boil. We've learned that the basic spiritual disciplines of reading God's word to hear his voice, conversational prayer, and meditation are essential to spiritual fervor. We've also learned that we need a spiritual community to stir one another towards love and good deeds. We've learned that serving God is essential, seeing our lives in the big picture of what God is doing in the world. We've learned that loving the things of this world is a surefire way to make our soul lukewarm. We've learned that there's an enemy in this battle, an enemy who lies and tempts and condemns so that our soul will become lukewarm again. And finally, we have learned that there are simply some seasons in our lives where we have to persevere through the valley of darkness, hoping that in due time, a harvest will come. And so we're going to have a moment of response. If you're following along on the paper, there's one final question. And that question is, what is your decision? What is the Spirit of God saying to you this morning? What do you need to do to get back to boiling? What do you need to do to make sure that you stay boiling? And maybe there's some of you in this room that you've never experienced your soul being on fire for God. You've never experiencing your soul being boiled. Well, here's the thing. What step can you take to get closer to God's fire? Because here's what I know to be true. None of us are fully there. We're getting closer. Some of us are closer than others, but there's always a step that every single person can take to get closer to the fire of God for our spirits to boil over. And so I'm going to challenge you today. Make a decision. Don't leave here saying, man, that was a good sermon. Cool. No, what are you going to do in your life? Starting today, starting tomorrow, what steps are you going to take to get closer to the fire of God so that your spirit can boil over? And my prayer is that this passage of scripture, when you read it, man, it becomes your life verse. And we can be people who are passionate about Jesus. That we, when we look at our life, we can see that it's a soul that is on fire, that is boiling over the things of God. Let's pray. Spirit, speak to us in this moment. Move us towards your fire. Let our spirits boil over. Jesus, we ask this in your name.